And we are all the way, if you have your Bible, we're all the way down into Matthew 17 this week. All right, so last week, if you remember, Jesus was with his disciples and they were talking about the difference between maybe what the Pharisees and the Sadducees, remember those two religious groups? They were telling Jesus, hey, why don't you do a sign to prove that you're the Messiah? Why don't you do something amazing? Does anybody remember, why was that kind of a silly request from them? Why was that a silly request? Anybody? Okay, yeah. I mean, if you'd been paying attention over the last few weeks, right? I mean, Jesus had done plenty of things that proved that he had power from God, right? He had healed people. He had fed thousands of people with just a few loaves and fish. And not only did he just do that once, but he did it twice. You know, almost like if they didn't get it the first time, hey, I can still do that. It wasn't some trick. Jesus had done lots of things that showed that he was the Messiah that they were supposed to be looking for. But we know that those two groups, specifically the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they did not want Jesus to be the Messiah because he was talking about kind of a different thing than what they were looking for, all right? So then we had this important moment, and this is why I wanted to bring this up. So that's what they were looking for. They wanted Jesus to prove who he was, and then he asked his disciples, he said, who do you say that I am? And what did they say? What did his disciples respond back? Do you remember? They had the right answer, ultimately. They said, you are the Son of God, right? They said, we know you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God who's come. You're the one we've been looking for. So his disciples, they understood. That's good, right? Yay, the disciples got it. In chapter 17, we're going to see that thing that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were kind of telling Jesus, well, you have to do something amazing for us to believe you. In chapter 17, we see that Jesus actually does give a few of his disciples, not even all of his disciples, but a few of them, he gives them a sign as to who he is. And they get to see him for who he really is. So that's where we're going to read today. It's just a few days later from all of those things that were happening. It starts out, it says, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John. So only three of his disciples he took with him on this trip. And he led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. All right, so if you were with someone and all of a sudden they just started to glow, that's what it kind of sounds like it's describing, right? Like Jesus basically just turns almost completely white because of the light that is coming out of him, it sounds like. Like he's shining. He's showing that he is God, right? He's proving to them. He's giving them that sign so that they know for certain, okay, yep, we definitely understand now who you are. But he doesn't just do that. That would be kind of, that would be enough, right? Like, oh, nobody's ever done that before in front of us. But on top of that, it says, and behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Now, who remembers who Moses and Elijah are? Does anybody remember who Moses and Elijah are?
I know who Moses
Okay, you know who Moses is. Who's Moses?
All
right, Moses was someone that God used in the Old Testament, right? What did he do? He brought the people out of Egypt, right? God used him to bring the people out of slavery and eventually take them right up to the very edge of the promised land, right, that they were going to move into. So everybody knew who Moses was. Now, did they know what he looked like? I don't know. Maybe they had some sort of drawings or something that they had art back in those days. So I'm sure they had drawn pictures of what they thought Moses looked like and what some of those things looked like. But for some reason, they know that this is Moses. They know that this is Moses. They're speaking. Maybe it's what they were talking about. Maybe it's what they said to each other. Who's Elijah? He's another Old Testament prophet, right? How long ago was it that he was alive at this point? Not quite thousands, hundreds of years before this. But the point is, Moses and Elijah are not people that are supposed to be there talking to Jesus, are they? They've both died a long time ago, and yet here they are talking to Jesus, who is glowing white and showing who he really is. So this is kind of an incredible thing that is happening, that Peter, James, and John get to witness. I don't know if you can imagine being there. Would you be able to say anything while this is happening, or would you just be kind of standing there like, yeah. Well, it seems like maybe that's kind of where they are at first. And so they're talking with Jesus, but then Peter's always got something to say, right? Seems like. Peter says to Jesus, he says, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." Yes. Right? It is good for us to be here, but let's see what he does. He says, "If you wish, I will make three tabernacles here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." So he's like, "Hey, I'm going to build you some like temporary houses so they can stay a while." So do you think Peter really understands what's happening here? Remember, we've talked about what their ideas about what the Messiah was going to do. They thought the Messiah was going to become a king that kind of rules and takes over and helps Israel become a mighty nation again, right? I think it seems like maybe Peter is thinking this is the start of that. Moses and Elijah have come to help. Jesus is going to make the kingdom now. I have a feeling maybe that's what Peter is thinking here, because he's like, we got to build some places for you guys to be. But it's interesting what happens next. It says, while he was still speaking, right in the middle of Peter giving his plan of what they should do next, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." So who is that? Who is speaking out of the cloud? We've had this happen before. Yeah, God the Father. Good. So remember that happened when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, right? We kind of had a similar thing happen where God speaks. But he does it again here, and it's almost like he's kind of like, "Okay, Peter, listen to my Son. Don't come up with ideas about what you're supposed to do next. Listen to my Son." It says, when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground and were terrified. And Jesus came to them and touched them and said, "Get up and do not be afraid." And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. Now, this is an interesting thing. So remember, it's just these three men that go up and are able to see this incredible thing. What would you want to do after you saw something like that happen?
Tell everybody.
Tell everybody, right? Yeah. You're going to say, you are not going to believe what we just saw. We just saw total, absolute proof that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Son of God. He was talking to Moses and Elijah. You're going to want to tell everyone all of that, right? Well, that's what's so interesting about what happens next. Remember, God the Father spoke and said, listen to my son. Listen to him. And this is what he tells them. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Jesus says, don't tell anybody about what you saw today. This was just for you until, but he puts something else in there. He says, until the Son of Man, who's the Son of Man? Do you remember who the Son of Man is? You forgot? Okay, it's another name for the Son of God, who is Jesus, right? Jesus uses that term for himself. He calls himself the Son of Man. It's from the Old Testament. He's referencing something from the Old Testament there. Until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Now, to rise from the dead, what has to happen to you? You have to be dead, right? Yeah. So Jesus tells them this. I mean, it's had to be so confusing for them. They just saw this amazing thing, and then he says, don't tell anybody until I have risen from the dead. And they've got to just be thinking, well, that's never going to happen, right? They just had that a few days ago where Peter said, no, you're not going to die. That's not what the plan is for the Messiah. So there's a lot of confusion as to what's going on here. And they had some questions, and they talked to him about it. They said, and his disciples asked him, why did the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And he answered and said, Elijah is coming and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah already came, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they wished. All right, so this is kind of confusing, right? Elijah is from the Old Testament, right? And Elijah came once, and he did warn them about a lot of things, and they didn't listen to him. So he's kind of referencing what actually happened to the real Elijah back in the Old Testament, but he's also talking about something else. He says, so also the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. And then in verse 13 it says, then the disciples understood that he had spoken to them about John the Baptist. So he's saying, that Elijah that was coming and preparing the way for me, he has come, and that was John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the person that came and said, the Messiah is coming. He's coming right now, soon. Look for him. And what did they do to John the Baptist, remember? Yeah, they had him killed, right? They didn't want to listen to him. So Jesus is saying, just like he suffered, I am also going to have to suffer. All right, so this is, can you imagine this incredible thing? And now this kind of strange news about how Jesus is not here to kind of take over as king and set up his kingdom, but that he's going to have to suffer. And then he says, I'm going to have to raise from the dead, which means he's going to have to die. That's really confusing, isn't it? If you're one of the disciples, it's kind of confusing even for us to think about, you know, what was the plan? What is going on here? So as we keep going on, we'll go kind of closer to the end. It says, and while they were gathering together in Galilee, Jesus said to them, and this is another time, this is a little later. He says, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day. And they were deeply grieved. So again, Jesus is warning them. He's preparing them. He's trying to help them understand, I'm not here right now to take over and set up my physical kingdom and to right every wrong and turn this into a place where I'm ruling on a throne right here. But what is he doing? Well, he's doing something that needed to happen before that happens. He's preparing them for to understand what he is really there to do, which is he is there to actually pay the sin penalty of everyone who believes. That is his purpose in this first time that he's coming. And yes, he's telling them that the kingdom of heaven is near, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but it's a little bit different than what they are expecting that to look like. And so he keeps kind of dropping these very, at this point, not so subtle hints about what is coming. And if you keep coming back, we're going to get there in just a few chapters, but we'll find out what is Jesus preparing them for? What is he going to have to go through? And what is their purpose after those things happen? So all of these things are, he's helping the disciples to know who he really is. And what I want to focus on tonight is that he gave that sign that the Pharisees were looking for in the chapter before, he gave that sign to the people who actually wanted to know who he was. But he was not going to do those things for people who didn't want to listen to him, who weren't going to pay attention to the things he was saying. So we need to understand that too. If we are, God says that if we're seeking and we're trying to understand, he will help us to do that. But if we think we already have everything figured out, and we kind of know what all this, you know, Jesus and God and church, we know what that's all about. We've got it all figured out. We're not really trying to understand who Jesus is or what he wants for our lives. We need to be seeking that honestly. And God says he will help us to know that. He will help us to know him. So I pray that all of you are honestly coming and want to learn and want to know more about who Jesus is, and that you'll be listening with not just your ears, but with your heart to who Jesus is, why he came, why it's important that we understand that he is the Son of God, that he came that he so he could die in our place on the cross and pay for our sins so that we can have eternal life with him. And we can serve him just like those disciples did when they really understood who he was. They did all kinds of things that they never would have done before. They would have been too afraid. But once they really understood who Jesus was, they went out and they wanted to tell everyone. Just like he said here, when he raised from the dead, they went out and they were telling everybody who he was. They followed his instructions that he gave here in this passage. All right, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll do our memory verse time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you made it so clear to us, that you showed who you really are to your disciples, and we have this written down to understand and believe and know that you are the Son of God, that you do hold that power in your hands, and that because of that, you can pay for our sins. You can forgive us of our sins if we trust you and turn to you. Just thank you for the way that you work in our lives, and I pray that you would be working in the people's hearts that are here tonight, that are listening, and that you would help them to understand the truth about who you are and what you want for their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.